ready to fight from within. You're about to go behind enemy lines.
Roger, 3-2. Goliath copies all. Go ahead. Target is surrounded by multiple firms entering what appears to be a residential area. Requesting permission to engage them.
From the People's Republic of New York City, you're now going behind enemy lines with Gene Berardelli and Russ Gallo. And you are now behind enemy lines. Hey there, how you doing, America? Gene Berardelli here with you. So glad you can be with us. Whether you're joining us at www.behindenemylinesradio.us or if you're checking us out on AM radio, FM radio, the internet radio, we're glad that you're tuned in with us. Or if we're traveling along with you as a podcast, we are certainly glad to be along for the ride. This is the greatest show we do every year. It is definitely my favorite show of the year. And no, it's not because Russ Gallo isn't here. It's because we are doing the official selection show for Buffoon of the Year. And with every Buffoon of the Year show, we always bring back our resident expert in buffoonology. He is our Reverend Al Sharpton Fellow of Buffoonology here at Behind Enemy Lines. I'm talking about the one and only Matt Fairley. Matt, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very good. Hello, everyone out there. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Festive Kwanzaa. I hope you're enjoying this holiday season and, most importantly, this buffoonery season.
Oh my goodness. This season, Matt, probably the most competitive buffoonery season in recorded memory for us anyway here on the show.
There's some real winners out there, and, you know, I anticipate some very tight contests. I anticipate more than a few upsets just because I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be looking at the seedings that we have and saying, you know, I don't know if I agree with that, but, you know, one man's buffoon is another man's hero, but I think we've been pretty good this year. I think we've got, you know, some contests people are going to be really excited about. And like you said, you know, the great thing about politics in America is there's never any shortage of people doing something extraordinarily stupid.
And keep in mind, folks, when we talk about extraordinarily stupid, we are nonpartisan here as well. We are calling out Republicans, Democrats, progressives, conservatives.
Oh yeah,
this.
We got some hardcore conservatives in there. We got some ultra liberals in there, and everything in between. You know, there's really no partisanry in this one. We're calling out both sides when they're being buffoons, and I don't think anyone can accuse us of having our thumbs on the scale when it comes to one side or the other.
Oh, absolutely not, and I totally agree with that. The one thing you won't find here, folks, even though they were nominated, are the names that would just win depending upon whether you are on the left or on the right. And we're talking about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Special rule with them, we did not let them in because we want this to be competitive and not a partisan hit job on one side or the other. We are really interested in buffoonery.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's very hard. I understand that. You're going to see a lot of people in here where if you're on the right, you're like, but oh my goodness, that person does so much good. Or if you're on the left, you're like, I really agree with that person. I really, really agree with that person. We wanted to keep those big names out because there's no way to have a question about the buffoonish things they do without it turning a referendum on their politics. And, you know, that's just no fun. You know, this is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be a fun, fun moment for America.
He said fun four times, ladies and gentlemen. He must be serious about his fun. By the way, we just lost every Never Trumper who ever listened to the show. But whatever, it's okay by me. You ready to get down to this bracket? Are you ready to, like, unveil this cornucopia, as it were, of buffoonery?
Well, this Never Trumper is still here, and we're ready to get this show on the road.
All right, folks. Gotta say at the onset, before we unveil the bracket, we had over 40 nominees from our conclave that we call amongst our friends, families, and relatives and everyone associated with the show over the past couple of years. The biggest crop of buffoons in the history of the show. And these are your top 16. Matt, which bracket do you want to start with? Since you are our guest of honor today, you're our resident expert. Who are we gonna, what, give me a number that you want to start with.
You know what? I think let's start right at the top, and then we can play around from there. But we can start at the top so we can know, let people know, you know, what the parameters look like and why we are where we are.
All right. So you're talking about the number one seed in the Buffoon of the Year for 2018. For me and for many in our conclave, it was a no-brainer. It had to be the creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti. He's our number one. But I have to say, Matt Fairley disagreed with this selection. Tell them why.
Well, you know, perhaps it's because everyone should know I'm a lawyer just like Michael Avenatti. I'm a better lawyer, but...
I mean, that's not saying much, but yes, he is a better lawyer. I can vouch for that.
I think part of the problem is that, you know, I'm biased in that I look at so much of what Michael Avenatti does as a lawyer, you know, what he was doing on behalf of his client, all the puffery, as we say, in the business, and I look at it more as just unethical and not buffoonery. You know, it makes me kind of sad and upset as an attorney at law that this is a man that I share a career with. And I don't look at that as buffoonery. I look at that as just like plain just wrong. You know, so I'm looking at this and I'm seeing just like wrongness. And buffoonery isn't about just like being a criminal. Otherwise, you know, we could just look up who's got convicted for the most things and that being the buffoon of the year. You know, it's about really being spectacularly bad. You know, so that's where I am. And I think maybe it's professional. It's a professional bias of mine. But, you know, hey, we all have our biases, and I can admit mine up front.
Well, spectacularly bad definitely describes Michael Avenatti to me. Yes, he's a fellow member of the bar, but at the same time, you use the phrase spectacularly bad. This is a guy who, just politically speaking, forget about legal tactics, legal strategy, and all that other stuff. Politically, he was just spectacularly bad, Matt. I mean, from going after Donald Trump and trying to take him down on his own turf, which is basically the mud, to going on TV fighting with Tucker Carlson, to, you know, forget about, put aside the fact that he lost for his client, who now has to pay Donald Trump's legal fees. But the fact that the guy started his own PAC, raised money for Beto O'Rourke, and then took half that money for his own. First of all, very Italian of him. But at the same time, just a buffoon, because sooner or later he got dropped like a bad habit with the whole Julie Swetnick thing during the Kavanaugh circus. And by the way, folks, you're going to see tons of players from that as well. And to me, he just earned that. Not to mention his dumb decision of wanting to run for president. And there's also this whole domestic violence rap going on. The man checked all the boxes in 1 year.
Yeah. And this is, I think, where you and I I don't know if it would differ, but this is another way where I look at it, like, the domestic violence thing, that's not buffoonery. That's just being evil.
True.
You know?
True.
Like, if you want to think he's a buffoon, fine. Don't use that as your measuring stick. That's just evil. You know? I mean, yes. I mean, well, just because you're Stormy Daniels' lawyer, you say, oh, I'm going to run for president? Ugh, come on, man. Get over your damn self.
Absolutely. And he's going up against the number 16 seed, and I feel the emails, cards, and letters coming in as we speak, especially from our listeners down in Florida and Georgia down there, because we're talking about a Southern conservative Republican, Judge Roy Moore. Matt, why did he make the cut?
Well, I mean, he hasn't been in the news for a while, but, you know, we have deadlines here like any good media relationship, so a lot of the stuff that happens late in the last year, you know, doesn't get in. But he lost a Senate seat as a Republican in Alabama. Do you know what you have to do to lose a Senate seat as a Republican in Alabama? Well, if you paid attention to the news, you know exactly what he did. The buffoonery here isn't, you know, again, like we said about Avenatti.
It's not the allegations.
It's not the fact that he was creeping on young girls. That's just gross.
No, it was the yearbook signature.
It's the explanations he gave.
Yes.
It's the explanations he gave. It's like, well, the Bible said it's okay. I went to church too, man. I don't remember anyone saying that, you know, it's okay for older men to go creep on younger girls. That's just wrong. And if you're going to come up and use the Bible as your excuse for why you're creeping on 14-year-old girls when you're 30-something, you're a buffoon.
Absolutely right. And to be honest with you, the reason why I think he makes the cut here, and again, I feel the cardinal letters coming in, is what you said at the beginning. You're a Republican in Alabama in an open seat, and you totally screw it up. You absolutely totally screw it up.
He lost to an unknown, too. I mean, no one, I can't even, to tell you how unknown the senator he lost to.
I still don't know his name.
I'm totally blanking on his name.
There you go.
I'm blanking on his name. He's a nobody.
Well, and it's not like the Republicans are not going to win this seat back. It's just that he was such a horrible candidate. And by the way, this was also, he was also the schism between Steve Bannon and President Trump. And they, like, competed with each other over this. And Trump actually didn't back this guy. He begrudgingly did it later on. But, you know, this wasn't his first pick. So
yeah, when even Donald Trump is willing to look at you and say, you know what, you've gone too far. And Donald Trump, you know, he's the president. He gets my respect, because respect the office. If you don't respect the man, he gets my respect. He will go out there for a lot of Republicans. There's very few Republicans Donald Trump won't go out there for. And he looked at him and said, yeah, no thanks.
Absolutely. You know, Matt, this is a good time to explain to people what we mean by buffoonery. And we're trying to make it as clear as we can with this first bracket. It doesn't mean, you know, evil criminality, although it can mean that. It can mean corruption, but it's broader than that, right?
It is broader than that. It's when I think, and we're going to see this later on. I see a couple in here that we're going to get to or something. A lot of it comes down to hubris, to pride, for, you know, it's, you know, I look at buffoonery as to go way, way back, but like the Jimmy Baker, Jimmy Swagger kind of thing, like, you know, being the person who preaches family values but then cheats on your wife, you know, being the person that, you know, preaches socialism and preaches, you know, all democratic liberal politics, but, you know, you own two houses and you dress in $1,000 suits. You know, it's hypocrisy. It's hubris. That's what is at the essence of buffoonery. You know, that is what really takes someone from being just stupid or just being just a criminal and becoming a world class buffoon.
You know, delving deeper than what Matt Farrelly has done, and he's the forerunner in this work. By the way, check out his article on the Sharpton scale. That's on the menu of www.behindthemainlinesradio.us. You know, Matt, I've been meaning to tell you this. I've identified, at least on a sliding scale, 11 different types of buffoon, which I'll get into you later on with. But it goes from, you know, the super silly to the criminal corrupt and all points in between. The lack of self-awareness buffoon, the bless your heart buffoon, the Hank Johnson thinking that Guam's going to tip over to the guy in New York who tried to pay off his lawyer on his corruption trial with more corruption money. And yes, that did happen. His name is William Boylan. We mention him every year. But that's sort of the range of buffoonery that we can have in this bracket and also in life.
Yeah, it really kind of boils down to it. Like, you say there are 11 categories, you know, but there's really just two main families. It's the, oh my God, what were you thinking category of buffoon. And just like you said, it's like, bless his heart. Kind of buffoon, you know, the really kind of like, you've done something really, really dumb and you did it, like, you set out, you intentionally set out along a path, and what were you thinking? And then there's the other one where it's like, oh, well, you tried, but you just messed up.
Absolutely right. And by the way, this is all an emerging science, in my opinion. And like I said, Matt Farrelly is the forerunner of it, because there are now two established metrics for measuring buffoonery. Very quickly, Matt, we got a minute before our hard break here. Tell everybody about the Sharpton scales.
Well, there are two different types of Sharpton scales. There's the Sharpton scale that measures the individual, and that is someone's inherent buffoonery. You know, like, everyone has a little bit of buffoonery in them, but, you know, some people take it really, really, really hard scale. Like, the, you know, with the Reverend Al Sharpton being, like, the number one, A1, 100%, wow, you're a buffoon. I use this, and bless his heart, and we miss him and respect him. You know, George H.W. Bush, you know, who just made the occasional gaffe where it's like, we're like, oh, bless your heart. You're a good man, but bless your heart. And R.I.P. President Bush. But the other kind is, like, buffoonish acts, because, like, even if you have, like, only a little bit of buffoonery in you, you could do a buffoonish act that it's like, wow, did not see that coming, but that is huge. So most of those are, you know, you can measure them, you know, you can measure them how you will, you know, the scale is emerging, but those are the two different types of things, your inherent buffoonery and then your actions. And that is how we judge you in these contests.
All right, we'll be back after this break. Gene and Matt, Behind Enemy Lines, Buffoon of the Year, back after this.
Behind Enemy Lines.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Get started today at ready.gov/plan. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you're a longtime listener of the show, or maybe this is your first time listening, you can probably tell that me and the gang here, we like to have our share of fun, whether it's on or off the air. We talk about two-drink minimum radio and no medication Wednesdays or whatever day it may be. That's why when we found the people at Less Government, More Fun, we knew it was a match made in heaven with this show. Folks, we live in a time where government is out of hand. Our founding fathers did not intend government to be all-consuming in all parts of our lives. That's why we are telling you to go to lessgovmorefun.com. Check out the website. Check out the swag. What the people want is less government, more fun. Pass it on. Make it happen. Behind Enemy Lines Radio is all about being right. No, seriously, it is. If you ever listen to Russ Gallo or me go back and forth on some issue, we always want to make sure that we remember who said what and when we said it. That's why we go to GoOnRecord.com. It's a brand new social media website. Challenge people on what they believe, whether it's in politics, sports, entertainment, finance, whatever. There's a category for you at GoOnRecord.com. Check it out right now. Tell us, what do you stand for? It's time for you to go on record.
Behind Enemy Lines. Back on the air.
Gene and Matt, back behind enemy lines. Matt, we've only hit one of the matchups here so far for our 2018 Buffoon of the Year contest. Let's go now to who will be going up against the winner of the Avenatti-Moore bracket, which would be the 8-9 matchup, the real toss-up of the bracket. We have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez versus comedian, and I use that lightly, Michelle Wolf. Why is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez only the 8th seed here?
Well, I mean, if you look at her politics, you know, 3-4 years ago, she was a small business owner who was railing against government regulation, saying a lot of things that would make people like you and I who are, say, right of center, really smile and nod. You know, and then 2018, though, you know, she's your classic ultra-left-wing progressive. So she's very much a flip-flopper, and that's what makes her a buffoon. The fact that she's not higher, because, I mean, she really flip-flopped. She was smart enough to see the opening and win, because she took on someone else who could have made the list here, Joe Crowley, who lost touch with his district and saw his, you know, she saw her opening and took it in. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad to be a flip-flopper, but, you know, to get style points for actually pulling off the victory.
And honestly, I mean, a lot of the things that come out of her mouth is doublespeak, and, you know, she doesn't really actually have a point to anything she says. And every now and then she'll find something to say that may be intelligent. The whole thing with the Amazon headquarters coming to the People's Republic of New York City being one of those things where even conservatives have agreed.
We have to agree with her. Yeah, we have to agree with her on that one. You know, like we say, we are nonpartisan here. When someone on the left says there's something that is worth going with, we're going to give it. But the fact of the matter is that this is a woman who reinvented herself, reinvented her politics, you know, to fit what the Democratic Party says now. And
to me, that's why, absolutely, but that's why she's not higher. Because she's honest about what she is, unlike a lot of the other people who will be on here. She's a true believer.
You know, she's a true believer, and like I said, the fact is, you know, she saw her opening and she won. You got to respect that. You know, it's not like some of the other people that are on this list, and I will call that person out later when we get there, who you know, reinvented themselves and lost. You know?
Right, absolutely. So, absolutely. But she's going against Michelle Wolf, and she's the 9 seed. You may remember her as the comedian who flopped across the board at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when she went in on Sarah Huckabee Sanders and others. But then she followed up with a show on Netflix that ended up bombing just as bad. This is, to me, is a case of an unfunny person who got hoisted by their own petard of unfunniness.
I kind of disagree with you here. I don't think she's unfunny. I have seen some of the things that she's done that she's made me laugh. The problem here, what makes her a buffoon, is that, you know, this is a person who just did not read the room. You know, she's at the press. She's at the press association dinner, and instead of, you know, taking on the politicians, taking on the people who, you know, they're fair game. You know, they enter the ring. You know, she takes on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but not in a way that's really even that could be said to be, you know, good natured or anything. It was very mean spirited. It was a very hypocritical way to go after someone, to go after how they look. You know, and that's what makes her a buffoon. You know, that she did not read her room. You have to be really misfire badly to have the press press have sympathy and align themselves with Donald Trump's spokeswoman. That's buffoonery.
Well, and also on the Netflix show, she had that whole, like, abortion parade skit that was just already stupid. To me, she's a buffoon. Yeah. Because she's given up the market share of half of the American audience, much in the same way that ABC did with Roseanne and what they did with her. It's just emblematic of this, you know, I want my comedy to be funny. I don't care if you're politically incorrect or if you have a political opinion in your comedy. Just be funny. And I don't see anything that she did with Sarah Huckabee Sanders or on her Netflix show as funny.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I mean, part of the reason she isn't ranked higher is, like you said, you know, it's what Hollywood does. At this point, it's just part of the fabric of the industry she's in. You know, so it's hard to rank her higher because of that, you know. But, you know, so we have two people here who are very much, you know, they're kind of very evenly matched in that way, in that, you know, they have their pros as buffoons, but you can really look at it and say, well, you know, I understand how they got there.
Right. I understand how she got there, but to me, this is such a toss-up, though. I can't choose between these two. And, you know, it's so hard because it's just so hard to do this, the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's the point of this. That's the point of this. And one of the best parts about this is that we don't have to decide. You, the listener, get to decide and tell us what you think. And that is why we love to do this for you, so we can come back and hear from the people.
Absolutely. Polls will be opening after the show. You'll find an article at www.behindenemylinesradio.us, which will include a bracket that you'll be able to see real time, fill up with votes. And then we don't have control this year over who wins and who loses. Hint, hint about past years, Matt Fairley. But the brackets will fill automatically for the next contest without us even doing anything. It's all automated. And all automatic. By the way, before we move on, gotta give a big shout out to our friends at Less Government, More Fun. They've been working with us not only with Buffoon of the Year. This is their second year working with us on that, but they're gonna be helping with us in tandem, producing and marketing a line of Buffoon of the Year T-shirts. You can find a T-shirt of your favorite buffoon, whoever that might be. On a shirt now, thanks to Less Government, More Fun. We're also going to have a few other fun ones there as well that are pro-GOP. So if you don't want to take someone down and you want to build up your side, there'll be stuff there as well. And we're going to be putting a store up at www.behindenemylinesradio.us. Man, it almost feels like we're a real operation now, Matt. I know we're still not, but it felt like it for a second.
For a second, it felt like you knew what you were doing.
Oh, I we all know that's not the case. Come on now, just as they said in was it Wayne's World? You're just a freak with a microphone. That's all I am. Listen, we're gonna take a quick break on some of our affiliates, and when we come back, we'll have more buffoonery coming up. Gene and Matt, Behind Enemy Lines. We're gonna be back with some more buffoonery right after these brief words. Hey folks, I just want to let you know about a great opportunity for listeners of Behind Enemy Lines Radio. If you go to our website, www.behindenemylinesradio.us, and click on the same box ad on the right side of the page, you will get a great opportunity for a discounted offer to join SaneBox. SaneBox filters out all the unimportant email from your inbox so that you can really focus on what matters. If you're anything like me, folks, you get hundreds of pieces of email a day, not many of which is important. SaneBox's smart filter will get everything you need to fly through your inbox and finally make email work for you. It gets rid of spam emails, it deprioritizes emails that aren't as important to you, and it helps you unsubscribe from mailing lists and individual senders with ease. So again, go to www.behindenemylinesradio.us and you click on the SaneBox ad and you'll be given an exclusive offer you won't find anywhere else.
Behind Enemy Lines. Back on the air.
Gene and Matt, back behind enemy lines. No time for the plugs this week. Just check us out at www.behindenemylinesradio.us. I'm talking a little quickly because we have another six matchups to unveil here and a whole lot of buffoonery to talk about. Let's get right back into it, Matt. We have the number two seed. We unveiled the number one seed, of course, Michael Avenatti. The number two seed, CNN's Jim Acosta, going up against the number 15 seed, the distinguished gentlewoman from Hawaii, Senator Macy Hirono. Obviously, Acosta is here for, you know, a full year's work of buffoonery. Right, Matt?
Oh, he's got himself a nice track record.
I mean,
you know, he's really kind of, I would say he's the momentum candidate in that he really kind of worked all year towards one moment that really was kind of like a culmination of what was going on. His press briefing with the president where he just would not shut up.
And that's Jim Acosta in a nutshell. He just does not shut up. He will talk over people. He will interrupt people. He will try to, I guess, journalist-splain about why things are the way they are in Jim Acosta's world. And he gets ridiculed constantly everywhere he goes, especially when he's at a Trump rally or a press conference. The man just loves to hear the sound of his own voice.
And I think we need to really point out here that, you know, it's not that he's critical of Donald Trump. You know, he's a buffoon because, as a journalist, his job is to get the truth out there. It's not to make it the Jim Acosta show. No one is watching a presidential press conference because they want to see what one of any of them, not just Jim Acosta, any of the reporters or correspondents are asking. They're not the star. The president is. And that's not just true of Donald Trump. That was true when it was Barack Obama. That was true when it was Bill Clinton. That was true whenever the president. It's about the official, because they're the ones whose words have weight, have meaning, that can really take us down. But Jim wants it to be the Jim show. You know, so that's really what makes him a buffoon here. And it's the fact that, you know, he doesn't just show disdain for himself, he shows disdain for everyone else in the room, for his colleagues, for the staff, for what's going on.
For his audience. For his audience. They want that he thinks that they're just here, they're to hear him. You're absolutely right, he has disdain for everyone. On the other side, we have Macy Hirono, a lower seed, and it's primarily because her moment to shine was at one continuous event, and that was the Kavanaugh hearings, where she basically told all men to shut up, but then at the same time wanted to dispense with the rule of law and preponderance of the evidence and burdens of proof and innocent until proven guilty and all that. I guess because Kavanaugh was a man and because Christine Blasey Ford was a woman and there were these allegations. But she particularly distinguished herself out of that whole cavalcade of buffoonery on the Democrat side with the Kavanaugh hearing.
I would agree with you. I think she's a low seed because, I mean, if we really wanted to, we could pick any number of senators who did not cover themselves with glory.
And we have, we have as well.
She's the one who stands in for a lot of the people who really kind of went the wrong way with Brett Kavanaugh. And this isn't because she was against Brett Kavanaugh. I will tell you right now, listeners, I was against Brett Kavanaugh, not because of the Christine Blasey Ford thing, although, you know, that did give me pause, because anyone who takes out $60,000 in loans just to buy baseball tickets, come on, man. But, you know, taking things to the extreme the way she did, you know, saying all men need to shut up, we should only listen to women, we should suspend the rule of law, I mean, a senator has to do better. You can be against him if you want, but you still can't set that example as a United States senator. That's really what makes her a buffoon, and that a senator should know the law, should uphold the law, and should be about the law.
Absolutely. Now, I know we said we were going to go in number order from here on out, but let's actually go to the matchup that would be against this matchup, and that would be the 7-10. And again, this is an upset special in the making, in my opinion. The 7th seed, as we're talking about the Kavanaugh hearings, Cory Booker, or as we like to say around here, Booker, versus, I believe, as I'm looking through the list, the only member of Hollywood that made the cut, and I guess is going to be the representative from Hollywood in this year's Buffoon of the Year, Robert De Niro. And as an Italian-American, this hurt me, Matt, to have De Niro on the list. But, man. Go ahead.
I hear you. It hurts to have Bobby De Niro on there. As a New Yorker, he is someone who has done whatever you think his politics are, he's done a lot of great work for New York, did a lot of great things for New York after 9/11, the way he really supported downtown. But, you know, you can't take that and overlook the buffoonery, especially when it's deserved. But we should start with the number 7 seed, Cory Booker, Spartacus.
Yes, that's all you need to say. That's literally all you need to say about him. That Spartacus moment. Don't.
I am Spartacus, and then no one else stood up.
Don't make me do this illegal thing. Senator, it's totally legal. We cleared it last night. I'm going to do it. Don't make me do it. Sir, you can do whatever you want. It's not illegal. I know it's illegal. I did it. Sir, you could have done it the whole time. Yeah, I mean, his audition for 2020, man, time's flying. His audition for 2020 flopped. And he looked more like a loudmouth and a grandstander than he did of a man of substance.
Yeah, and it's a shame because Cory Booker, say what you will about him, he's a Democrat, but he's a Democrat that I don't necessarily find too objectionable. He doesn't really go about, you know, a lot of the craziness that the rest of them do, but this was not a great moment for him. And it's an example of the kind of buffoonery of, we were talking before, of hubris. This is a person who's clearly looking ahead of himself, clearly looking at the next fight, and forgetting how to fight the one in front of him.
Absolutely. And on the other hand, Robert De Niro, his Trump derangement syndrome, for lack of a better word, really took over his consciousness in 2018. And the amount of profanity that came from him every time there was a microphone around him was astounding. Because, you know, I mean, listen, the man's not known for being so eloquent outside of a movie script. But, wow, he was just everywhere. And the rumor has it, at least according to the New York Post, that he's getting a divorce from his wife because of Trump, and that Trump rented out so much space in his head, and that his wife, I guess, wanted him to tone it down or was a supporter of Trump, something like that, that his marriage is now breaking up because of Donald Trump. There's some real buffoonery for you.
Yeah, his big moment of 2018 was the Tony Awards, where he, you know, on live television, in an award that's about theater and the arts and creativity, decided to say what he said, and we can't say it on the air with you. But if you think back, it was a not nice word, Trump.
You might want to Google it. It's a not nice word that starts with the letter F, and we're going to say expletive deleted.
Yeah, it was really kind of buffoonish to do that where it is. I don't care if you don't like Donald Trump. I don't care if you don't like Barack Obama. That's fine. There's a time and place for things. What really the left doesn't get is that for a lot of people in America, you know, it's not that we don't want to talk about politics. It's that we really do think that, you know, there's a time and place for it. You know, like when I'm learning about, you know, I live in New York. I like going to Broadway shows. When I'm trying to learn about which one's the best one there, I don't want to hear a rant about any politician, not just Donald Trump. You know, and that's what made it buffoonery, because it's just like, read the room, you know. In that room, being anti-Donald Trump gets a huge round of applause, but at the end of the day, it's not about Donald Trump that night, you know. And that's really why he's been nominated, because he's kind of a symptom of a class of people that really just don't know when to just to stop for a second. Just don't know when to stop.
Right. And listen, I used to be a fan of saying stay in your lane. And I still kind of am, in the sense that if you're an entertainer, your job is to entertain. Do that first. If your job is playing a sport, do that first. You know, you can do all that stuff later on. You know, be politically active and vocal about causes and issues that are important to you. But stay in your lane, first and foremost. And that's a big reason why all these award shows, the Oscars, the Tonys, the Grammys, the Emmys, the American Music Awards, the Country Music Awards, all these things, their viewership is in the tank compared to a couple of years, even just a couple of years back. So if America hasn't sent the message already that, you know, shut up and entertain me, you know, I don't think it's ever going to get through their heads in Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to just, you know, have a beer and watch football. There's nothing wrong with wanting to just, you know, spend your Saturday night, you know, seeing a theater with your wife. There's nothing wrong with just wanting to take a break from it, you know, and not have to worry about, am I going to have to talk politics right now? Because some people just really just don't have the mind space for that, and that there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't want to be about politics, you don't have to be. That's the great thing about America. You have that choice.
Absolutely right. Let's go to the 3 seed and that matchup, because this was a topic of conversation among those of us debating the seeding. And we ultimately settled on the number 3 seed, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas gets number 3.
And I think deservedly so. Originally, we had the person who's going to be veiled as the 5 seed in here, and you'll hear about him later. But I think Elizabeth Warren this year really, really, you know, this is the shoot yourself in the foot buffoonery, you know, in that
another failed audition for 2018. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it really shot herself in this, but also just like, you know, she let the president bait her into doing something that ultimately hurt her. She's been telling this really, really stupid story for years. I don't want to say stupid story, because we all have our own, we all have our family legends, you know, like, oh, you know, or, you know, my family legends is all the entertainers my great-grandfather, the opera singer, knew. Who knows if all of that's true? Who knows if that's just stories that he used to like to tell my mom and her sisters? Who knows? But we all have those stories you like to tell, and she had her own. The buffoonery that she's always had is that she turned it into a political calling card when she is as white as I am. I mean, she is just a pale, pale honky like me.
And if you've ever seen a photo of Matt Farrelly, you would see that he is indeed a pale, pale honky. But she is going up against a fellow progressive from the other house, from the Congress, a man who has made I guess he is trying to become the heir apparent to Anthony Weiner, the feisty progressive that will go on TV and try to be telegenic and photogenic and will take on progressive statements and be like, yeah, I said it. We're talking about Eric Swalwell from the Socialist Republic of California. A bit of a surprise that he made the bracket as the 14, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit of a surprise, because again, I mean, I think this is someone who's really kind of standing in for a class of people. You know, we're picking someone here, you know, to kind of stand in for all of the kind of left progressives who are really, really long on rhetoric, long on statements, long on sound bites, but really, really short on actual ideas on how to get there. They're all about, you know, making their shot on TV, but not necessarily about actually, say, governing. And I think that's where Eric comes in here, because, you know, he is the symptom of what's wrong with, like, you know, the left's getting its own Tea Party. The kind of people who really, really are all about, like, you know, just being no to the mainstream of their own party. And Eric is, you know, part of the symptom of that.
Absolutely. His latest gaffe, of course, on Twitter, where he responded to a comment regarding his position on gun control, which is take people's guns away, confiscate guns, and to say, you know, could basically say in response to someone saying, well, government's going to war to take your guns, and his response was, well, we have nuclear weapons that we could use, or something to that effect. Obviously, I'm not quoting him, I'm paraphrasing it, and I'm giving you the right spin on it. But he invoked the use of nuclear weapons on American citizens. That's just buffoonish. Just even going near that is buffoonery.
It goes back, And it goes back to what I said about Senator Hirono. I mean, say what you will about the Second Amendment. It exists. It exists. It's the law of the land. And you'd think that a congressperson would know that. You know, it would have more respect for it. But, you know, we are where we are. There's, like we said, he's part of a class of people who don't really care about what the law is. They want the policies they want, and they don't care whether or not they're legal.
Absolutely right.
And that's the footage.
Absolutely right. I mean, we could have put any number of gun advocates in here. It's really not about the gun advocacy. It's really about the foot and mouth disease and, you know, the way too farness that we saw with Mazie Hirono as well. That's the buffoonery here. Don't get it twisted. We're not trying to make a statement about gun control. We have our position here on the show. Matt has his position. But it's not about that. It's about how you communicate yourself in a lot of ways. And that's why this guy is just, you know, he made the list. And that's why he's the 14th seed. Getting a little low on time here, so we're going to try to breeze through the rest of the brackets here. We're up to the 4th seed, and another CNN journalist, quote-unquote, makes the list. Now, we could have picked a lot of people from CNN. We could have picked Brooke Baldwin for saying, don't use the gang word when talking about the caravans. We could have picked Chris Cuomo for any number of things that he said. But we ultimately settled on the number 4 seed, Don Lemon. And why'd we do that, Matt?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, we pick on CNN, but CNN's the one that says that they're right down the middle. You know, they're the ones, you know, MSNBC, yeah, they're the liberals, and they don't try and hide it. And Fox News, they're the conservatives, they don't try to hide it. So to, like, say that there's some kind of bias in there, yeah, well, it's fine, of course. I mean, you know, that's why you went there. That's why you went to one of those two. Don Lemon and CNN, you know, doesn't try to hide the bias on the channel that's trying to position themselves as, you know, the dragnet of news, just the facts, ma'am. You know, this is what happened without, you know, news without any kind of commentary, or at least...
Yeah, news without filter.
Nothing overt.
Right, news without filter.
And that's why Don gets in here, because, like, of the people on CNN who don't really succeed at that, like you say... There were a few choices. You know, he's obviously takes a lot of glee in it.
I mean, Brian Stetzer, we could have picked a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, that's just not becoming of a... That's really buffoonish, not becoming of someone who's trying to be a centrist journalist. So that's why he's here.
Absolutely. And he's going up against Senator Dianne Feinstein. Again, the Kavanaugh buffoonery rears its ugly head. And I believe, as I'm looking... We have Booker, who is the highest seeded from the Kavanaughs for his Spartacus moment. And we have Hirono. And then we have Feinstein right in between. But her buffoonery is a little more insidious than everyone else's, in my opinion, because she was the one that sat on Christine Blasey Ford's letter until the most opportune moment possible, like right at the finish line.
Yeah. There's really no way to look at what she did as good, because she either intentionally sat on it and then dropped it, you know, strategically, or she just bumbled the whole thing by, you know, making a promise to Christine Blasey Ford. You know, her whole story was, well, she told me to keep it confident. Well, you know what? You shouldn't have promised that. You know, we're talking about a Supreme Court justice. We're talking about a extraordinary allegation against a Supreme Court justice. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? Can't keep it confident. I got to go forward here. So either way, you know, for either being wholly calculating or being just completely incompetent, she did not do well here, and she's got a lot to answer for.
Oh, and there was that whole thing.
I tend to think it's the incompetence. I really tend to think it was incompetence, which really, really ups the buffoonery here.
Well, remember the whole thing about what she told her staff or what she didn't tell her staff during one exchange with Senator Cornyn? And it, you know, that was just I lean towards incompetence, and I think that's why she's here now.
Yeah, and that's why she's there. I think this there's tremendous upset potential here. This is why I'm picking this as the upset bracket. That's just my call.
It could be the upset special, but at the other end of that is the matchup between the 5 and the 12, who will play the winner of what we just talked about. The 5 seed may be Matt Farley's favorite seed in this tournament this year. Am I right in saying that?
You know, he's got an impressive body of work behind him. He really does. He comes in here as a well-practiced and tried-and-true buffoon, the kind of person who really, really puts work into his art.
And we are talking about, drumroll please, Kanye West.
I don't know how to do a drum roll.
I'll fill in the drum roll later, don't worry. Kanye West is the 5 seed. Oh, there's going to be cards and letters on this one.
Yeah.
Listen, here's my feeling on this now, and you can give me your take.
Yeah.
I don't care what a celebrity says when they agree with me or disagree with me. Kanye especially went off the rails with a lot of what he said, slavery being a choice, and you know, it's not for wearing the MAGA hat or talking to Candace Owens or whatever. It's for the instability, the sheer cray of Kanye West jumping into the political foray. I was actually defending him and saying he can have an opinion. Doesn't mean I have to listen to it, but he can have an opinion on politics. The fact that he jumped in with both feet and was just a barrel full of crazy, that's why he's on the list for me.
Yeah, he's up there. And like you said, what really, it's not about the opinion. It's not the fact that he had an opinion or expect opinion. Yeah, you know, a lot of people like to say stay in your lane, but it doesn't mean people can't, who are in the entertainment industry or in this industry, can't have opinions and can't express those opinions. That's fine. Slavery is a choice. Slavery was a choice, really. Listen, like I said before, I'm the whitest honky ever, but even I know that's dumb. That's really what that gets him up here, and that's really where he went. Because, like you said, he took a lot of history, and he really kind of leaned into it this year.
Absolutely right. But he's going against an amalgam of people. We couldn't pick one, but when we say the name BBQ Becky or Barbecue Becky, I think you get what we're talking about. There was a whole class of people this year, Matt, that were not only overtly racist and, you know, rightly ridiculed thereafter, but it was done in such a hilarious way with shaming them that they have to be called out as buffoons. And they collectively get, I mean, there was one involving, I think it was Corner Store Kathy or something like that. Of course, we mentioned Barbecue Becky. There's a whole bunch of them.
Sidewalk Sally, I think there was Public Pool Patty. I mean, these were all the people who saw minorities somewhere that they didn't want minorities to be and said, you know what I'm going to do? You know what would be a really, really great response to seeing people barbecuing where I don't think they should be barbecuing, or a little girl selling water on the sidewalk to make money? This is a real one. This is a real one. A little girl setting up a stand to sell water to passersby. Like, that's just the cutest thing ever. Hey, I know what I'll do. I'm going to call 911.
Yeah, I mean, it was the stupidest stuff.
That is just the most big, it's just buffoonish, and it just shows just a complete lack of touch with reality. What really is just, like, the most depressing part of this is that, like, they thought they were right to do this, and largely, although this is starting to change, largely none of them got anything worse than internet blowback for them. Like, no arrest for, say, falsely reporting a crime or tying up police resources or making a false report to 911. It's just all so very sad. But at the end of the day, it's like, really, seriously, this is the what I said before, this is the bad side of what were you thinking?
Absolutely right. Well, listen, we're getting low on time here. We got a few minutes left for the final matchup that we can talk about. This is the matchup that will be going up against Elizabeth Warren and Swalwell, the winner of that one. It's the 6-11 matchup. The 6th seed is a tag team of sorts. We all remember the story throughout the year regarding the investigation of Donald Trump and problems at the FBI. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the so-called FBI lovers, make the bracket. And why do they make the bracket for you, Matt?
You know, there's an old saying in politics and the law, whatever you want to say, is don't ever write what you can say, don't ever say what you can wink. And they broke that rule so bad. I mean, listen, we all have our opinions, but these people are FBI agents. They're all about, you know, evidence. Evidence is their job. You know, collecting and analyzing evidence is their job. So when they decided to talk about how they felt about the election and how biased they were during their investigation of Comey and of Hillary Clinton and of Donald Trump, they decided to do what? Write it down in text messages. What were you thinking?
And then be incredulous about it later on, at least in the case of Strzok when he testified before Congress on it. They're going up against, and we got to get this in really quickly, Don Blankenship, the man who coined the term Cocaine Mitch. Oh my goodness. There couldn't have been a worse candidate. Well, maybe Roy Moore was a worse candidate than Don Blankenship, but man, oh man, this guy right here, Matt, I think he speaks for himself.
This is a guy who went to jail for running a an energy company where he blew up a whole bunch of coal miners in Kentucky, and he thought to himself, "Hey, I know what I'll do. I'll run for Senate in West Virginia." And what is a huge part of the populace of West Virginia?
That would be coal miners.
Coal miners. This guy thought he had a chance. It's just pure hubris. This is the man I was talking about before when we were talking about a Republican who really just took hubris to a new level, because he tried to run as the conservative answer and it just went absolutely nowhere. Couldn't even get out of the primary.
And Mitch McConnell's response on Twitter was amazing when he had the cocaine-dusted graphic that says, "Thanks for playing." Epic. No.
Oh yeah, that was an epic clackback from the majority leader there.
Absolutely. So there you have it, folks. That's the bracket for 2018 Buffoon of the Year. That's the class of 2018. Matt, quickly, give me your winner. Who's taking it all right now?
I am going to go with the number 2 seed, Jim Acosta. I think there's not a lot of love for the media. I think he's going to take it.
You know what? I'm going to punk out. I'm not going to punk out. I was going to go with Michael Avenatti. I don't know if he's going to stay in the news that much longer. My sentimental favorite, Kanye West. I think he deserves it. Avenatti has the body of work for the year, as sustained throughout the whole year. But man, if you want to go by just sheer crazy, Kanye West did it. He earned it, in my opinion.
Well, you know, we got a great matchup for everyone to work with this year.
Absolutely. Here's what we can do, folks. Go to www.behindemylinesradio.us. Click on the article about the 2018 Buffoon of the Year. Within that article will be a bracket at the bottom of the page where you'll be able to pick your choices. Who you got, America? You tell us. The polls will open at the end of the show and will go on until an hour before next week's show when we record. And you will know by then who makes the next round before we even broadcast it. Matt, as always, you are the grand poobah of buffoonery. Thank you so much for doing this with us, man.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I look forward to this every year. As they say, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay, and sorry
for singing at you people. Sorry, it moves me.
Wow, that's all I have to say. Remember what happened to the last guy who sang on the show, not professionally? That might be you next. Anyway, folks.
Oh God.
Yes, indeed, folks. We're out of time here. We're gonna shut this sucker down. Matt Fairley, thank you so much. Next week, you'll know the winners. And we'll have a lot more show for you. But until then, Gene Berardelli, Matt Fairley, Behind Enemy Lines, we are out of here. Good night, folks.
Our position's been compromised. It's time to roll out. Report for debriefing at www.behindenemylinesradio.us. And look for regular communications via Facebook and Twitter at BEL_radio. You are the resistance behind enemy lines. A Rock Radio production. Back in 7 days. Out.